Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. Impermeable. I'm the people's champ. Obama, and you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick, allergic to the con artist. Fake quote. An imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C, that's my roster. You know, I just been parsed up. I've been high, my shit been parsed up. I've been high, my shit been parsed up.
Hello. What's up, fam?
Can you hear me good? I don't know what happened when I tried to call in.
I can hear you.
I don't know what happened. Oh, okay, good.
No, was it a busy signal?
Yeah,
I had to
call
back.
Did that happen to you?
I had to hang up.
I called back a few times.
Yeah, it happened one time.
Oh. That's
so weird.
I don't know. Well, we're on now.
Maybe that's what's happening to Daddy, because he didn't get on yet.
Okay.
Well, I guess we can give him a couple of minutes. Do you want to start it? Do you want to play a song? We can play a song.
Yeah. Let's hit the song.
Okay, I'm going to play this song because I think we all need to hear this song right now, and then we'll give him a little bit of time to get on because he might be having some technical difficulties. There's just difficulties all around. So let's play this and we'll be right back.
All
right. All my life I had to fight, nigga. All my life I hard times like, bad trips like, Nazareth, I'm fucked up, homie, you fucked up. But if God got us, then we gon' be all right.
Nigga, we gon' be all right. Nigga, we gon' be all right. We gon' be all right. Do you hear me?
And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even boom with the face down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. Where pretty pussy and Benjamin is the highlight. Now tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a motherfucking gangster in silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my face this all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? Nigga, and we hate po-po, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me?
Motherfucker, you can live at the mall. I can see the evil, I can tell it. I know it's illegal, I don't think about it. I deposit every other zero, thinking of my partner. Put the candy, painting on a Rico, digging in my pocket. In a profit, big enough to feed you. Every day my logic, get another dollar just to keep you in the presence of your Chico. I don't talk about it, be about it. Every day I sequel. If I got it, then you know you got it. Heaven, I can reach you. Pet dog, my dog, that's all. Sit back and chat, I shut the back for y'all. I rap, I black on tracks, so rest assured. My rights, my wrongs, I write till I'm right with God. When you know, we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? Nigga, and we hate po-po, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
I keep my head up high. I cross my heart and
prayers.
I remember you was conflicted, misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same, abusing my power full of resentment. Resentment that turned into a deep depression. Found myself screaming in the hotel room. I didn't want to self-destruct. The evils of Lucy was all around me. So I went running for answers.
Hotep family.
Hotep, hey daddy, how are you?
I am doing supreme.
There we go.
Under the conditions that we're facing, we got peace of mind and our health. Family's doing all right. So far, so good. My prayers go out to all those who may not have been as fortunate.
Yeah.
Very,
a lot
very
going on.
There's a lot going on right now, and we all have to keep tight. Who knew the last time we had this conversation, the last time we had this radio program, look how much has changed.
Mm-hmm.
In a matter of the world has
it's too much. Too much.
Well, you know something? Sometimes you got to get here in order to get there.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but some people have a hard head, and they need a little bit more convincing, so to speak. It's unfortunate that the innocent have to pay for the guilty, but this is the way it is. Lessons that you do
mm-hmm.
not learn, you are doomed to repeat it.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we're facing. America has had ample opportunities to correct their ways. But arrogantly and ignorantly, they have refused. Because of that,
mm-hmm.
each time gets a little bit worse. And this is where we are right now. And I pray that your generation stands up and stands strong. As I've said before, my generation should be ashamed of themselves for how they've conducted themselves. They have not been here for the young people. They have not been here to tell the truth. They've not been here to finally just get things in place so that your generation don't have to go through this. Y'all don't
mm-hmm.
deserve this. And it's just the way it is. And I, coming from a generation that I live this, what you're seeing on TV, I watched this growing up.
Mm-hmm.
The rebellions in
the Rodney King.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's 1992. I'm going back to 1968
mm.
when they assassinated Martin Luther King.
Mm.
Newark went up in fire. Harlem went in fire. All around the country went up in flames. Because for once, America realized. See, with Malcolm, the excuse was that he preached violence. That was the image that they gave you of Malcolm, that he preached violence and therefore you shall reap what you sow. They didn't focus on self-defense. Malcolm said that self-defense isn't violence, it's intelligence.
Hmm.
But they were able to create that kind of aura around him so that when he was killed, particularly by members or so-called members of the Nation of Islam, it seemed like it was inside. They had an internal battle. So black folk, while they were angry and while they stood up, it wasn't like when they killed the King of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because ain't nobody had no reason to kill Dr. King. He was talking about turn the other cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Passive resistance. And so when they killed him, black folk understood, look, it don't make a difference if you preach in self-defense or peace. If you are
mm-hmm.
a black man doing something or a black woman doing something for your people, you must be eradicated. They didn't learn. And so now there is something that they're all going to have to pay for. And this is one of the things that we're all facing. And so in reality, your generation, Sasha and Kandike, and Heru, your generation has to understand the errors of the past. And I have to say what I'm looking at, I have mixed reactions, but overall, Malcolm said, you got to speak in the language that you're spoken to. Some of these folks don't understand peace. You see, Malcolm used to say, I ain't going out singing. When I go out, I'm going out swinging. And that is what made the change. What made the change was not the peaceful movement. What made the change was the Black Panther Party. How many times have we been through this before? We just went through it with Aubrey and then a sister, Breonna Taylor. We just got through this. Nobody was doing anything. They were trying to hide it. But now, with our brother George Floyd, now they're seeing it. And there's an uprising in the community. And in that uprising, this is where people are paying attention. Because if you hold in your hand, talking about we shall overcome, yeah, they're going to overcome you. But when you set Madison Avenue on fire, when you send a set Rodeo Drive in Los Angeles on fire, when you set the richest real estate, Madison Avenue, on fire, then it's unfortunate, but we're dealing with a hard-headed people that don't understand. You can only treat a people but for so long like this before they stand up and they tell you, hell no, no more, it's over. It's unfortunate, but this is part of what happened. How do y'all feel? See, I've been through this before, so, and honestly, when this was going on back in the 60s, I was on the street. And one day when I'm in a position, I'll tell the story. Right now, I'm not going to tell the story. But I one day will tell the story about what my generation did on the street, because I was on fire. And so was so many of my other brothers and sisters, and so many other peoples of European descent and Asian descent. Not many.
Yeah.
But enough to make a difference. I'm sorry that y'all have to go through this. I wish we had corrected this when we had the opportunity, but we didn't. And because of that, here we are again.
Oh, Sasha, is that you? Is that Sasha?
But
we can't hear you, Sasha. You may have to.
Yeah. Yeah, you sound like you're in the distance.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit better, but you still
That's
sound
weird.
Like an echo.
That's crazy. Oh. I don't know what. Okay, so I'm going to try to call again with the phone number because it was giving me a hard time. I'm trying to call back. You guys keep talking.
Okay.
I'm going to try to call back.
Okay. Candace, how do you feel, Conde K?
I mean,
what's going on with you?
For me, I feel like it's such a mixed feelings in regards to everything that's going on because it's like I understand exactly how the youth feel. In regards to, they're tired, they're angry, they feel like they're not being heard, so they feel like, you know, certain things need to be done in order for people to hear them. It's very unfortunate that it has to get to that point of anger. And people start out with good intentions of, you know, rallying together, being together, speaking together, seeing that there are people out there that will work together in order to have their voices heard, but then it comes to the point of anger, and you can see the anger and frustration. So for me, it's the, you know, I'm thinking as, because I can't turn my clinical brain off, so I'm thinking as a therapist, and I'm thinking as, you know, someone who can absolutely understand, because for me, I try to look at it from the outside. Because sometimes when you're looking at it from the inside, if I'm looking at it from my perspective of how I personally feel about it, is totally different than my clinical thought process.
Well,
And well, for me, clinic. Mm-hmm.
As a clinician, if a young person came to you trying to figure out what's going on, what would you tell them as a clinician, as an observer on the outside, talking to somebody who is going through something subjectively? What
mm-hmm.
advice would you give them?
Well, for me, and it's the advice that I've been giving, you know, because in the work that I do, I'm fortunate to be able to speak with a lot of individuals who are of color and who are feeling certain ways about what's going on. And for me, it's like I always tell them, you know, the anger, don't let the anger get to you. Don't let them win, because that's exactly what they want you to do. They want you to loot. They want you to get arrested. They want you to lose your right to vote. They want you to lose your right to have a bank account. They want you to lose basically everything that you have going for you. Don't give them what they want, because like we've spoken about numerous time and time again, there are people out there that are just waiting, and their whole life is based on making sure that you don't succeed. And what you have to do is ensure that they don't win. So for me, I feel like, you know, as a clinician, looking at the looting and looking at aggressiveness and the anger and the killings and the serious, like, hurting one another, regardless of what color they're wearing, whether it's blue uniform or regular wear, you're hurting an individual. And, you know, a lot of times they feel like when we've been hurt so much, that's all we know. But we have to realize exactly what we're experiencing from a higher standard, look at the bigger picture, and what we are experiencing, and to not allow the anger to get to us, because when you're angry, you can't think straight. You can't think in the moment, of the heat of the moment. And it's a very, like, angry sort of situation. People are tired. People are upset. And that's totally understandable, because that is how they feel, and they're allowed to have those feelings. But we can't let them win. Way to hurt them? You got to hurt them the way that needs to be hurt. And for me, the way I'm hurting and the way I'm giving back right now is this whole month and going forward, nothing but Black-owned supporting them, giving the money to our people, giving the money to charity, as opposed to giving money to these organizations that don't care, and it's obvious that they're not with us and they're not standing with us during this time. Give back to those that deserve to receive the funding, to stand at the end of the day, to move forward, to continue. Give to those that deserve our time and effort and money and support and everything, because it's hard. But with that being said, go ahead, Daddy.
No, I'll follow you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, yeah, now that's,
okay. That's a lot better.
I'll put it on my phone. I'll speak when you're finished, Candace.
Okay, but it's so hard, because a part of me, being a Black woman, being with a Black man, being married to a Black man, for our future children to be Black children, for me to have a Black father, a Black mother, Black in-laws, Black family, it's hard. It's very hard, because what you see with these youth that are being abused, that are even pulled out of their cars, that are being tased, what you see is you see your family members and the possibility of that being them. So it's very hard, and this is very emotional, but you have to remember that you can't act on your emotions and think about the big picture, because they want us to be like this, and they want to sit back and say, you see, they're acting like animals. This is exactly why they need to have the military control them. How are you saying the military is going to set up and go against Americans? Americans going against Americans. Come on now, that's not what we need. That's not where it is. And if we were heard the first time, it wouldn't get to the point of where it is right now. But it's very hard for people. It's very hard for people to process. And that's the most important part of this platform is to be able to process, to be able to talk about this. I mean, this is days and days, and we have nothing but time now because of the quarantine to think about this and to become upset. So you see that there's people who are losing their jobs, that don't have money, that don't have food, that don't have the opportunity, and it's very hard, and they're angry. We're in a quarantine right now, and it's just made people even angrier. So we have to uplift each other. We have to talk about it. We have to process our feelings. We can't act on emotion. It's hard, but we can't. Looting stores that are in our neighborhoods, looting mom and pop places, you know, creating fires that could end up killing people. Like, we can't do that. That's not the answer. We have to really process this and come to an answer, and not even thinking that right now we can come to an answer, because not every problem has a direct solution or has the same solution. We have to really figure out amongst ourselves, and we have amazing leaders. We have people who we can talk to. We have ways in which we can channel our energy. But looting, being out after curfew, you're only allowing those that want you to unsuccessful to win.
I think that I don't disagree with you, but I think that it's important to add certain words to the conversation, because I think it was you. I'm pretty sure it was you, Daddy, that said that. Anger, what is it? Anger.
Anger,
I forgot what it was.
Passion.
But passion. Yes.
Anger is passion. Anger is emotion out of control. Passion,
yes,
is emotion under control.
And that is what's most important, because this country was not by people, by savages. They don't understand us being nice. I don't think act out of, like, there should be a plan. There should be a conversation, but I'm not completely against tearing down the establishment, maybe, but I'm not against tearing down the establishment to build up a new one. But there has to be a purpose and a plan behind it. And one of the biggest issues that I'm having is that when people talk, and not just what you're saying, because some of it is, you know, certain people, but the looting and a lot of the violence and the fires and the crazy happening, not the protesters and not black people. I see recordings of white women writing and defacing buildings. I saw a video, and I reposted it on my social media, of an entire group they were in uniform, police officers, breaking windows of a store. It was a storefront, and they shattered the windows. So there's a lot of things that are happening that are not us, but we're getting blamed for, and it's taking away from the actual message. I saw, and one of them, like, no matter how angry I am at certain establishments, no matter how angry I am at certain groups, whether it's the police, whether it's the government, when I see that there are people in these establishments that are trying to make a difference, that really does mean a lot. When I saw that guy, that he was, I forgot where it was, but he had a sweatshirt on that said sheriff, and he wanted to find out from the protesters what they needed from him. As a sheriff and as the leader of his police force, they wanted him to walk with them, and he took off and he walked with them. And that's what's important. Whether you hate the police, whether you love, no matter what it is, when all the dust settles, when the fires are out, when everything is over, we're still going to need a certain level of protection. And because not everybody is good, not every black person is good, and not every white person is good. The most important thing is that we're changing the minds of people. I've never seen minds change the way that they were changed now. When I saw there was another video that I saw where it was a group of white people that were kneeling, and whether you believe in religion or not, this particular group was they were all very spiritual and they were all religious. It was a group of white people kneeling at the feet of a group of black people, and just trying to bring God into their conversation and to make it better. And then the next video was all of them kneeling together. This may not be, if nothing is the right answer, there's no right answer to it. But the point is that we need to get rid of the bad, not physically, but the conversation cannot be about the people that are doing the wrong thing. Like you always say with the 3 out of 100, there are people that are doing amazing things, and they get overshadowed by people that are doing the wrong thing. There's a purpose of all of the stuff that's going on and being overshadowed by looters and people that, and vandalism that is not even us doing it. There was a guy that he was saying that he was vandalizing his store, and the girl was asking him, what's the name of the person that you're doing this protest for? And he didn't, and he was acting like he didn't know the name. And then he said, not George Floyd, and ran. And the girl chased him. There are bad people that are trying to make the process look bad. We have to understand the foundation of the purpose of the protest and focus on that. So I'm not disagreeing with you, but we have to look, like you said, at the bigger picture. The protest, whether it's peaceful or violent, the foundation of the protest was built on a very violent and fatal action that happened with no remorse, no shred of dignity. 3 other people watched it happen. He was calling for his mother, and as you reminded me, Daddy, earlier, because it's hard for me to watch the video. The reason why this is happening, it was built up from Ahmaud Arbery, and then it finally came to a head when it happened to George Floyd. That was built out of violence. There's no way that you could peacefully protest such an inhumane action from inhumane people. It's nearly impossible for us to make anything, and that's why stuff is happening, because people are realizing how the foundation of racism is inhumane. There's no way to peacefully protest and to discuss what is happening. It's nearly impossible. I'm not saying to be violent, but being peaceful might not be the answer.
Can you, when you peel back all of the surface and you go deep inside to America, what you see, the looting and the killing, I mean, it's not even as bad as what Europeans did to Native American people. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's nowhere near what Europeans did to Africans when they stole them from their homeland and put them through this process. Think of the intergenerational hand-me-down, what one generation handed down to another, not just the negative feelings, but the positive feeling of hope. But think of it being built up generation after generation after generation, where what happened to George Floyd was at one time down south. My father told me stories about Alabama. Where a group of Europeans would get drunk, and then let's say, let's go find us a nigger. And that's what they would do. And there was law that they could be brought against. What you're looking at now is different from anything that has happened. It was legal to do that. There was no law that black folk could bring white folk to. Think in terms of the intergenerational hand-me-down of these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And then look outside and then ask yourself, is there any point where physical altercation is the answer? No matter what we see, no matter what we feel, go inside. And Sasha, you're very sensitive. And Kandike, you're a social worker. So when you peel back all of this, ebony and ivory living in harmony, we shall overcome, and all that stuff. When you look at Sandra Bland, when you look at Rodney King, when you look at Trayvon Martin, there is a wholesale belief that African lives, black lives, don't matter. They are insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And as we speak to our brothers and sisters of color, it's important for us to understand. I know for a fact that when the Muslim community was moving to America, moving to Michigan in particular, but moving to various parts, we warned them, don't think because your hair texture and you're just an olive complexion,
mm-hmm.
don't you think that the European don't look at you, because you know what they call you Muslims? They call you sand niggas.
Sand niggas. Yep.
And for those of us of Spanish-speaking background, to my brothers and sisters, when we were going through the struggles in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
we called out for help. And there were many that came, but there were many that did not. And now look at the predicament you're in. Look in Puerto Rico, where
mm-hmm.
the President of the United States tosses bounty paper towels at you like they do peanuts to an elephant in a zoo.
Yep.
Building the wall accuses you of being rapists and murderers
yep.
and worthless primitive people.
Mm.
And let's not leave out the Asian who was brought to this country only to work on the railroad. And only men could come. And when you came, if you didn't work on the railroad, you had to go back home. And if you didn't go back home, you were relegated to do woman's work, or what was considered to be woman's work. So here's the birth of the Chinese restaurant and the Chinese laundry to do the cooking and the cleaning. And we told you that, but you didn't believe it. And so
mm-hmm.
now you, our Asian brothers and sisters, who mistreat our African people in China the same
yep.
way white
yep.
folk treat black folk here, now
yep.
you're here, and you, Chinese people, you're the new niggas in town.
Yep.
Now, I'm speaking this way for a particular reason. I don't really talk this way. But there comes a time when we just got to lay this stuff out in the right out where we can see it. And to the poor whites,
yep.
Donald Trump despises you. He wouldn't
right.
even let you in his hotel.
Right.
He despises you. And yet you think he's in your corner? He despises you. We sit now. Mm-hmm. Malcolm just turned 95 years old.
Mm.
His assassination happened 55 years ago. Last February.
Mm.
And here we are. I have not heard so many people quote Malcolm. I've
mm.
heard it at least 5 or 6 times, and it's peoples of European descent that say
mm.
chicken have come home to roost.
Mm.
America, what you reap is what you're going to sow. You better get ready for what's coming, because the deepest parts of this have yet to surface. We warned them, Sasha and Kandike. My generation warned them. Elijah Muhammad warned them. Malcolm X warned them what was coming if they did not correct their ways. And they didn't. They continued to do what they did. And then they had the audacity to elect their leader, and now here you sit in your own defecation, because it's you that pulled your pants down and shit on America, and you're
wow.
going to pay the price.
Wow.
So you better get yourselves together. I'm speaking to Europeans. I'm speaking to Asians. I'm speaking to our Hispanic, Latinx people. I'm speaking to people who are coming to this country with different religions. The European that we're speaking of, and I'm not speaking in absolutes, but the European that I'm speaking of, the murderers, the mayhemists, you shall reap what you sow.
Mm.
And years from now, when your children and grandchildren speak of you, they'll speak of you in disgust, despair, and embarrassment. And while they will accept their life, they'll be ashamed that they came from your life system. You are ashamed. Mm. You should be shamed for what you've done. And this is America. And nature has whipped this around and said, I'm going to put y'all in a pandemic. I'm going to put you in a virus pandemic. I'm going to make you sick. But in your sickness, I'm going to give you another punch. Because this COVID-19 was not the main pandemic. The main pandemic is America's original pandemic, which is white supremacy. Mm. And that is what America is going to pay for. But I pray that your generation, having waited to exhale, will do the right thing. Because you deserve better than what my generation gave you. And I've said this frequently. I've said this on this program talking to you, and I've said it to both of you and your brother Haru privately. I'm shamed.
It was a whole song. It was a whole song on the Wu-Tang album, sir. It was an entire track.
Okay. Okay. Long before
matter
this
fact,
time.
Matter of fact, when you stop talking, we're going to show the people. Let me make sure they're still here because it was here.
And the other thing is I would just like Sasha, and Kandike, after we come back, however you orchestrate this, for you to speak to your generation. To speak to them about, where we go from here. Martin Luther King wrote a book, Where Do We Go From Here? The last chapter of my book, In Spirituality Before Religions, is titled, Where We Go From Here. Because what's happening, when Gil Scott-Heron wrote the song, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, it's a powerful piece, and I advise us all to listen to it. But the key about that song that he did, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, was he was explaining that the revolution, well, what happens in the street, what you're looking at happening in the streets of the United States and around the world, what you're looking at right now, that's not the revolution. That's the result of the revolution. The real revolution and why it would not be televised is because the real revolution occurs in your mind. What you do after that revolution is not the revolution. It's the result and the solution to the revolution that went on in your mind.
You know what? I'm going to have to play that because I feel like the song that you did on the Wu-Tang album is not that it's an in-house conversation because it's a song that public can be listened to, but I feel that for this particular topic, I want to play the revolution will not be televised. I want to play that because that I feel like you're talking about it and I feel like people will get a feel for what it is.
And I want to hear it again too.
So I'm gonna play it right now. We'll be right back.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
So appropriate. Yeah. That was in the 70s.
Mm.
Wow.
It's crazy how it's over until today.
Right. Right. There's so many things that we've seen that are so relevant still today.
That's right.
Like one of the issues that I have with a lot of things is that I feel like there was, oh man, I forgot what I was listening to. That it was talking about that there's certain, I feel like it was Nick Cannon. Was it Nick? It was somebody that was talking about laws being thrown at black people to make us comfortable, something like that. And it's really unfortunate that a lot of what we're experiencing is because we've become comfortable with having just enough, not realizing that what we have is actually nothing, and that we're still being treated badly. And that's one of the saddest things to me, is that when we were physically, or when our ancestors were physically in chains, at least they knew they were slaves. One of the biggest problems now is that we don't realize that we're deeper in enslavement because it's in your head. And that's why what you said about the revolution will not be televised. All these things that are happening are mental things. We believe that we're free mentally. There's a lot of laws that are passed to make us feel like we're free, and it's actually, even the 13th Amendment was created to make people feel like they're free, so that the people in charge can continue to do what they want to do. And before we played the song, you said that you wanted us to say. To say how we were feeling to our generation. And I think that one of the most important things that we need to realize is that we should not be treated a certain way simply because of comfortability. I've never been okay with being comfortable. And it gets worse as I get older. When I'm being mistreated and when I see something is wrong, it's the saddest thing to me to see people give me a thumbs up behind somebody's back because they like what I'm saying or they like what I'm doing, but they won't do it with me. And I'm not asking anybody to do anything with me, but that is one of the things that makes me sad. There's so many people that go on social media and curse me out for my opinion, but go to work and are, excuse my language, of kissing somebody's ass because of who they are. Or because a certain person is coming today, you act differently. Like, it's crazy to me how there's so many people that are okay with being like that. And then say things, or say that somebody's being racist, or say that somebody's being something, but don't stand in their words. There's so many people that don't stand in their words. Like, if I say something, I don't care who you are. I don't care what letters you have next to your name. I don't care who you are. If you don't treat somebody properly, you don't deserve respect. I don't care who you are. And it's important for people to be like that. If you're going to be like that behind somebody's back, you also have to be like that in front of their face. And I think that's one of the most important things that my generation, people a little older, people younger, need to realize, that they deserve to be respected. Nobody should make you come out of your character because you want a paycheck or because you want a promotion. There's no promotion and no dollar amount that will make me come out of my character. And I can say that, and anybody that's worked with me knows that that's a fact. Anybody that I've told a story to knows that that's a fact. And I don't care what happens. I don't care if I stay at the level that I am, whether it's now, in the past, or in the future. I don't care if I stay at the level where I'm at for the rest of my life and am doing what I'm supposed to do personally. I would never allow somebody to take me out of my character because I want something from them. And I think that that's one of the most important things, because there's a lot of things that are happening and are important, and then once the hashtag is over, we go back to the same way that we were before the hashtag started. Don't let Ahmaud Arbery or Breonna Taylor, it was Taylor, right? Oh my goodness. It was Taylor, yes. Right?
Yes.
I don't want to get the name wrong. It was Breonna Taylor, George Floyd.
Yes.
Like, don't let those names be hashtags, and then we don't do anything after when it's over, because it's important for it not. Because so many things, you say all these things on social media, you do all these things, and then you go to work or you go to this place or you buy this, and it doesn't mean anything anymore. There's a lot of things happening. A lot of people are joining this protest. A lot of people blacked out their profiles today. A lot of people are doing all these things because it's fun and it's a fad to do on social media. It's not. There's people dying. It's not a fad to be on social media. I think that's, like, we've lost touch with the concept of a revolution, whether it's mental or physical. We've lost touch with what that even means. It's not just fun to post it on Facebook or on Instagram or to make a TikTok video about it. That's not the way that it's supposed to be. And as long as we continue to allow that to happen, none of these things even matter. All this fighting, all this looting, all these fires that we're starting or not starting or seeing someone else start, none of it means anything if we're going to go back next Monday and nothing matters anymore. Once the beaches open back up, once you can get back on an airplane and you forget about what was going on, it's fun now because we had nothing to do for the last 3 months or 4 months or however long it was. It's not something that's just fun, because there's people that have to go to sleep every night and have lost a family member or, you know, a loved one or a friend or whatever, a teacher or whatever the situation is. It's important to realize that we have to completely change the way we think. All these things that we're hashtagging can't just be a hashtag. They actually have to be a different way that we are acting and thinking and responding to situations. And I feel like it's all for nothing if we're not willing to actually stand in the words that we're saying or writing or singing or rapping. Because you can't just talk about it. Like, there's people that are that way every day. Like, if you listen to Killer Mike, no matter how he feels, if you're right, like, he was part of a conversation with T.I. and Candace Owens. And there's people that were getting on Candace Owens for the things that she said. And Killer Mike was like, there's a lot of things that she's saying that are absolutely correct, but because you don't like the messenger, you're not listening to the message. It's really important for us to take what you say, Daddy, take the best and leave the rest. It's really important for us not just to listen to the words of the people that we like. Sometimes we learn the most from people that we don't like and don't agree with. I know that I have learned the most, not the most, but some of the most important things from people that I completely disagree with, because it helps me to formulate my thoughts. So we can't just be one-sided and listen to one person's idea or listen to one. We can't listen only to people that we agree with. We also have to listen to people that we don't agree with so that we understand where the other side is coming from. Because most of us have no idea where the other side, and I'm doing quotes, nobody can see me, but we don't even know where the other side is coming from. We have no idea what their thought process is. And I'm not saying to be friends with them, to hang out with them, but it's important to understand the person that you're fighting against. Because if you don't understand them, you're going to be running around in circles and you're going to be chasing your tail. And I think that's all I have to say about it.
For me, I feel like just the song in itself, The Revolution Shall Not Be Televised, is exactly how I try to live my life and walk my path. So for our generation specifically, it's very hard for us to live our lives the way we want to live our lives and the way we see fit to live our lives. We're always looking for that external acceptance. The social media posts. Let me get credit for being at this rally. Let me get credit for doing this. Let me get credit for this or that. I feel like a lot of what we're experiencing and where we are today is not what we need to be doing. So when I hear the revolution shall not be televised, for me that means that it's not about what you're putting out there in the world. It's not about the image that you're trying to portray. It's not about, oh, I'm down with the Black Power because I'm throwing up a fist, you know, surrounded by a whole bunch of people. It's about in your mind, in your body, in your soul, in your essence, you are doing the right thing, living your life how you would like to live it, living your life the right way, being truly happy with yourself, looking in the mirror and understanding who you are, carrying yourself a certain way, being able to feel good and have amazing intentions behind everything that you do. So for me, the revolution shall not be televised, meaning everything that I'm doing is not for other people. It's not to show other people what I'm doing. Everything that I'm doing, I know when I close my eyes at night, there's nothing that I wish I would have done today that I didn't do. Or looking in the mirror and feeling as though I have not accomplished or become who I want to be. And it's very hard for us because we're our society and growing up the younger generation, the end all be all is acceptance when you boil it down. So the revolution shall not be televised. We shall not be televised. We shall not be put on this pedestal and brought down. Originally, we were supposed to be talking about, which we could talk about next time, but Doja Cat, which is not the first and won't be the last artist that came up, and she's half white and half black. And there are certain things that she's just booming right now in the industry. She has songs with high celebrities, and things came out about her. The revolution shall not be televised. I myself shall live my life and do with the best intentions of how I'm going to live my life. And it's within myself that I've made that decision to do that. And moving forward, that's exactly what's being done every day when I wake up. That's what I accomplish throughout the day. My revolution shall not be televised.
You know, I've spent my life educating children. Coming out of my own experiences and then going into education. And I've watched this. I could not have said this is what was going to happen. I don't want to act like I knew this was coming, but I did know this was coming. I didn't know when. I didn't know what would spark it. I had a feeling that it would be sparked by something like what it was sparked by, but I didn't know for sure. But one of the things I attempted to get young people, and even as your father, what I tried to do with you as my daughters, was to prepare you for what you just both expressed, to tell you the truth. Because it's important. What I tried to get the children to understand, and I used to tell them when they'd be giving me some hard times in the classroom, okay, they'd just be talking and yakking and doing all sorts of stuff, and I'm trying to teach something to them, and they're just, you know, doing what they do. And I would just stop teaching whatever it was, whether it be math or science or whatever I happened to be teaching. I would stop. And I would say to them, look, I want you all to take what I'm about to tell you and put it in the back of your mind. Now, that That got their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they're saying, okay, now what is he going to say? And I used to always tell him, I'd say, and then I would tell him what I wanted to tell him. You have to stand up for what you believe in. You have to understand that this is a game that's being played. You have got to be able mm-hmm. to play by the rules of this particular game while you're in this game in order for you to do the best that you can, but always keep your hopes and dreams on fire and always be perfecting your craft. But I want to,
mm-hmm.
I want you to put this in the back of your mind. You don't have to remember it right now, but when you turn 25, 26, 27 years of age, I want you to remember what I'm telling you now. I want the spark that I'm about to tell you to spark something in your life. And I remember I was here in New York at the 14th Street Station, right there by Union Square, by the way, where all this is happening. This was where
mm-hmm.
I was going. I was going to pick some things up, and I went, and I heard somebody call Brother Booker T, because at the time that I'm about to tell you this story, I hadn't corrected my name. And there was a young brother who he went to school. I had him in kindergarten, and I had his brother in kindergarten too. His mother was a drug addict, like heroin. And I was an assistant principal at the time, and when I would call her up to kind of put the young ones in control, because they was kind of act, she would come every time. And she would nod out at the table as I was talking to her about what her son was doing. She would nod out. And I would look at your, I would look at the young man, and I would start to talk to him. And I would tell him, you know, your mother loves you. The fact that she came, she loves you. But there are things that she's going through. And I know you know. You know it better than I know. But you have to act in a way that she doesn't have to come here like this. And he used to sit there, quiet, listen, and mother would come up out the nod, and she'd pick up right where she left off in her conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have the conversation. Now, this young man that I'm talking to you about that I had in kindergarten, that I became an assistant principal, and then he continued through the school until the fourth grade. I'm on 14th Street. Years later, and I hear somebody call me, and I turn around, and it's this young man. Of course, now he's in his 20s. He's no longer 5 or 6 or 7. He's 20. And he came, and he hugged me. I thought he was going to break my back. Because he said, Brother Booker T, he said, I just got out of prison. And he said, I used to call your name at night in the dark because I could hear you talking to me. I could hear you tell me, put this in the back of your mind. Your mother loves you. You got to get things together.
Wow.
He said, but now that I'm here and now that I see you, he said, I'm on my way for a job. And I'm on my way for the interview. And he said, now that I see you, I think I'm going to get it. I think this is a message from my mother, because his mother had passed away. He said, I think this is a good sign that I see you. He said, because I scream your name. He said, you should have heard me. He said, I screamed your name. He said, because when I was in your class and when I was in your office, I remember the things that you used to tell me. And he said, as I was in prison looking around, I began to realize I didn't listen to you. But then I started, and now I know. And I tell that story because this is what I've attempted to talk to young people about. I understand your anger. I had it, and I still have it. But just like both of you are saying, there comes a point where you have to act proactively in order for you to get the mission accomplished. Your generation is tasked with making it better, not just for your generation, but for generations yet to be born. Your generation, you've got to correct it. What I'm looking at is at least an attempt. Let's see how this works out. Let's see how the next couple of months, well, let's even start with tonight, but let's see how all this works out.
Next couple of days, right.
Yeah, because we're definitely under curfew right now.
Absolutely.
Right.
Right now we are. In New York City, we are under curfew right now. But you want to know something? I believe y'all are going to do it. I have faith in you. I really have faith in your generation and maybe the generation just ahead of you. And I have the faith in the generation that is just under you in terms of ages. We're going to get this done. It ain't over till we win, because Martin Luther King was right.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice.
Mm.
Mm.
That's
it
ma'at.
Bends towards ma'at. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there is a substantial amount of people out here on the street that want to do the right thing once and for
mm-hmm.
all. Damn, let us build a future.
And mm-hmm. I think that, yes, and I think that what you said about Christopher Columbus and Donald Trump being bookends, I feel like that was something that you saw for the future, because the way that this is playing out, it couldn't be anything else.
Wow.
It feels like that's accurate. Like, it feels like that is, because you've always said it. Anybody, it's a race war, like anybody that's talked to you, you've said it. And now it feels like people have finally had enough. Whether you're a police officer, a person out on the street, or black or white, feels like people have had enough of not being able to live in a world where it's more important for you to be a decent person than it is for somebody to look at you and judge you based off of how you look. It feels like people are realizing it, even if it's not everyone, even if the loudest, stupidest one is in the White House, it feels like the people that matter are the people that are getting it. And it just feels different. This is a really difficult year for a lot of people and for a lot of different reasons. But it feels like that feeling. I've never gone through it, but when people describe it, it feels like that feeling of withdrawal, where a lot of people don't make it through withdrawal. A lot of people, they're on whatever drug of choice they have, whatever the feeling, whatever it is that they're doing, and they want to be better on the other side, but in order for them to get better, they have to go through something that's harder than the drug and harder than being without the drug, which is getting from point A to point B, which is withdrawal. And it feels like withdrawal right now, and a lot of people aren't going to make it, but that's the only way to make it to the other side. You got to go through it. What were you saying earlier when we were talking, Daddy, about the surgery? I think it was the surgery?
Yes, everybody wants to be healed, but nobody wants to have the operation. But to have an operation, you must have bloodshed. Nobody wants to bleed. I'm not speaking about a physical blood. I'm speaking about a spiritual and a mental and an emotional blood that we all have to go through, the pain of getting to the other side. Because just before the sun rises, there is darkness.
Mm-hmm.
In the Amduat, which is part of spirituality before religions, I talk about the 12 hours of judgment, the 12 hours of the underworld, where your heart is judged by the way in which you've lived your life.
Hmm.
The brightest part of the day is preceded by the darkest part of the night.
Hmm.
And this is what we have to go through. The same way that a beautiful child is brought forward, it brings a certain amount of, let's call it, physical uncomfort to the mother that's bringing the child forward. But through that feeling comes life. And young people can't give up. You can't give up and think that all things, the forces and principalities of evil depend on us believing things are hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
It is never hopeless. As long as you're alive, there's hope. When people say to me, when it dealt with education, and we were really having problems, they were saying, do you think it'll ever get better? And I used to always ask, do we have a kindergarten class coming in?
Because
as long as we have a kindergarten class coming in, there's hope for the future. And that is the African tradition. The society is based on making the younger better than the elder. You're supposed to be better.
And that will always, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is always something that's going to, that's always something that's going to occur. And you've always said that. Oh, you've always said that to us, to Christian. You've always said that to people you've had conversations with.
Mm-hmm.
And one, like, the last thing that I want to say, and then if you guys want to say anything, I just want to say that not all of us have to be out in the street protesting. And I think that's where a lot of people get disheartened, too. They don't feel like they're doing anything. And I think that one of the most important things to realize is that we don't all have to be outside in the crowd protesting. Not everybody is there is a position for everyone, whether it's monetary, whether it's education, whether even in the Black Panther Party, something I learned from you, Daddy, there were different sections of the Black Panther Party. It wasn't just always about a person out on the street with a gun defending the Second Amendment for Black people. There were a lot of different types of ways to protest and to support the community. And Candace, you mentioned earlier what you were going to do. Those are really important things. You don't have to be out. If you don't feel like your purpose is to be outside in the street, if you feel like your purpose is to educate young Black children or to write books or for you, Candace, with your therapy, because that is something that yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we need you. And I think that it's really important for us to realize that you shouldn't give up because you feel like your place isn't out in the street. Just because your place may not be out in the street doesn't mean that you don't have a place to fight for the progression of the community. And I think that's really important to mention because a lot of people are dissatisfied with themselves because they're not out protesting. And there are so many things that we can do that will make a difference. And if not, everybody doesn't need to do the same thing. So I think that's I just wanted to mention that. And there's a lot of people on social platforms and personal platforms that know of places to go and things to do, even if you want to send money to bail out protesters around the country. There are a lot of things that we can do, and you just go and look at different people and find out different organizations to donate money to. Make sure you research the place first so that you're not donating to the wrong place. But there are, and now more than ever, we need to love the people that are dedicated to the cause regardless of who they are. And any misconception that you have about a person, a Black person, any misconception, all of your skin folk ain't your kin folk, and all of the people that you think are not for you, some of them are the best allies you'll ever have. So we need to really look at the people standing next to us and make sure that they're the people that should be in our life. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah,
so
no,
you guys
it's
wanna
true. Everything.
Any other way?
Condicated, you want to speak?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get the, what did you say the link was? Act Blue. So it's ACTBLUE.com. That's a reputable, vetted out organization where you can donate. And what they do is there's different organizations that you could donate to, which include helping, you know, bail out some of those protesters and helping to support the cause. And it's very important what you said, because there are people out there, and there's been multiple conversations that I've had in regards to individuals who want to do but don't know what to do, and they feel as though the only thing that there is to do is to be out protesting and, you know, being on the front line. And that's not the only thing that you can do. You can still support. It's all about the intention behind the act. So support your local businesses. Support your brother and sister on the streets, say hello, nod, eye contact,
smile at people,
all of that.
Yes,
ask them how they're doing. Yes. Like, all of that counts, because we have to acknowledge the elephant in the room, quote unquote, for lack of a better, you know, we have to acknowledge that this is happening. It's not going away. but we have to be better. We have to realize that we are worthy. We are amazing. We'll get through this. We've been through worse, and this is not the end of what we'll go through throughout our lives. So it's important to realize that. Yeah. And like how they use the quote, we're in this together. We are all in this together. We all feel it one way or another. There's no way of escaping having feelings towards what we're experiencing. And there's a lot of traumas that are forming and that will form and that have formed due to everything that we're experiencing. And we have to recognize all of these traumas that we're experiencing and acknowledge our feelings and understand that we're allowed to have these feelings. When you're seeing people, live people being hurt, being choked out numerous times, being able to be right by the law, but then be told that they were wrong. It's very important that we acknowledge our feelings and we're able to figure out ways in which we can move past our feelings. And you're not in it alone. We're here. We're ready. We're willing. We're able to help one another.
Well, I'd like to close out in a way that I guess you all might be a little surprised, maybe not, but I don't know two people that I'd rather say this to and say this with. But Sasha and Kandike, you know, but those who are listening may not know and probably don't know. My big sister, Ruthie, passed away this weekend. She joined the ancestors, your aunt. And I would find it terrible if I didn't just let and at least speak to her and let her know how much I have loved her and respected her throughout her life. She was very special to me. Our relationship through the years was a wonderful relationship. We partied together. Everything she ever did, she did and turned to gold. She had the Midas touch. And she was such an example of what a woman, a good woman, should be as my older sister. She was my protector. She protected me against a lot of different things. And over these past couple of days, I've been thinking and I've been meditating on Ruthie and attempting to get a sense of where we go. She's the only other human being on the planet that her blood and my blood is the same. In many ways, we were twins. Mm. She was 5 years older than me, part of the year, and 6 years older than me in others. But she was a wonderful person, and she lived a life. And no matter what she went through, I was always awestruck that she smiled. No matter what she went through, she smiled. And now she's in the arms of your grandparents. She's now with all of the others that have gone before us. And they're going to make a way for us. They're going to make a way for you, Sasha, and Candace, and Heru, and Scipia, and Scipia's family. She's going to make a way because she's in a position now like never before. She's in peace. No more pain.
Hmm.
She's at peace. And I pray that all of us be touched by her and know who she was. Even those who are listening that may not have known my sister, Ruthie will watch out for us. She was that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
She was a protective type of person. I could tell stories. She was a protector. And she will protect.
Some of them.
She will continue. And I just want to send out my love, my respect to my big sister, Ruthie. And I pray that you rest in power. And rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Watch
out
over us. Guide us. Let us understand what it has to be done. And to your daughter, Jan Marie, and your son-in-law, Sean, and your grandson, Abuelito, Sonny. Guide them. Watch out for them. Time will heal their pain. But I know you'll watch out and do the right thing. And so I just pray that all is well. And I just look forward to the future. And family, I look forward to the next time we'll be together where we'll have this type of conversation.
That's
considering
right.
what we talked about the last time compared to what we talked about this time, there's a whole different world out here. So
yeah.
where
how
will
many,
we
how
be
many
in 2 weeks?
Well, I just have one question.
Okay.
What was the fruit of the story? Was it an orange?
And
or was
we
it a
don't
tomato?
Know. We will never
We will
know.
Never know.
What's that? You talking about the? Wait a minute. You talking about the tomato?
Was it tomatoes? Was
it
tomatoes?
Wasn't tomato.
Or was it oranges?
No,
no.
No,
our Ruthie says it's
oranges.
Oranges.
Jen says
no,
it
was a tomato. It was a tomato.
We had the conversation. I think it was either Tuesday or Thursday. We had this conversation. And Jen was like, "It's oranges," and we were like, "It's tomato."
It was a tomato. My father used to come, and when we were children, he used to come and bring fruit from down around, because he worked on 30th Street, which is right below Times Square, and they had a lot of markets. My father used to bring like a dozen of eclairs, and he'd bring in fruit and tomatoes, and he was so proud of what he would
oranges.
Put. He would
oranges, apparently, too.
Yeah, no, well, he might have gotten oranges, but that's not what Ruthie and I loved. We loved tomatoes. and my father brought two big beefsteak tomatoes home. I mean, this was a big tomato, both of them. And Ruth, and when he came in and Ruthie saw that, her eyes just got big, you know. And my father said, "Don't touch tomatoes now. We're gonna make a salad later. Don't touch tomatoes." "Oh no, Daddy, I'm not gonna touch it." Oh, no sooner did he go to bed, sister did her job. She went right up in there. And she grabbed that tomato. And my father got up, ready to do it. Hey, he said, who ate the two tomatoes? Who ate the two tomatoes? And Ruthie said, "I didn't eat two, I only ate one." He said, "I got you."
Hilarious.
He faked it out. Because that other
That's
tomato
funny.
Was still there, but he figured if he accused people of eating two, somebody would admit they ate one.
You know,
and then,
you people always know how to ask the right questions.
Hey, listen, here's another story since we're here. There's a candy out. I don't know if it's still out. It's called Canada Mint. They're little discs of candy, and they normally came 12 to a box. They came in peppermint, which is a red box, and wintergreen, which is a green box. And so Ruthie got her box. I had my box. Well, she ate all hers up. And then she's looking at my box like she wants some of my Canada Mint. And so what I did was that I shook it. I shook the box. And you could hear it moving around in there. The you know, she said, "Oh, all the mints are in there." I said, "Ruthie, you want some mints?" She said, "Yeah, I want some mints. Give me some mints." And I said, "Okay, here. I'll be nice." She said, "Oh, I like you. Oh, thank you so much." And when she opened it up, she said, "Daddy, look at what he did. He put Checkers in the box." I had put Checkers in the box to fool her, and she was all excited about getting some Canada Mints, and she didn't get nothing but a couple of Checkers.
That's messed up.
Yeah, that's how it was. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun, and as a family, we loved each other. There were four of us, my mother, my father, Ruthie, and I, and we built a nation. We built a nation. In our own way, we did the very best that we could.
And that's all you can ask for.
That's all you can. And Ruthie did an excellent job. And sister went out dancing, went out singing, left the world the way she came in.
Absolutely did.
But what you just told me the other day, she's still doing the same thing she was doing when we were children. But she was a wonderful person. And and I pray that as time goes on.
And she smiled through all of it. She smiled
absolutely.
And laughed.
But still,
and danced it, through all
it
of
was
it.
Tomatoes. It was beefsteak tomatoes. It was not oranges.
I don't know.
I'm telling you what I know. I know. It was it was tomatoes.
I'm hearing others. There's one story sides to a story.
Yeah, but it was tomatoes. I'm telling you.
That's your story? You sticking to it?
I'm sticking to it. That's it.
Oh man.
All right. To the Creator and the ancestors. And now Ruthie is an ancestor, and she will bless us, and she will guide her nieces, Candace and Sasha, and her nephew, Haru, and her daughter, and family.
Mm-hmm.
So with that.
All right. Well, keep on keeping on.
Because it ain't over till we win. Because
it ain't over till we win. There we go.
That's right.
There we go.
And that was Ruthie's motto. She kept on keeping on, and it wasn't over until she won.
That's right.
She won. Yes. And this is America. And we will
That's
see
right.
you all or listen to you all in 2 weeks.
There we go.
Keep
your head
up.
Stay safe.
We just wanna party. I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is Gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the bag. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah. Yeah, I'm so dull like, yeah. Woo. We gon' blow like, yeah. What I'm whipping up, look how I'm kicking up. I'm so pretty, I'm on Gucci. I'm so pretty, I'm gonna get it. This is belly. Ooh, on my Kodak, black. Ooh, know that.
I just checked my follow and listen. You motherfuckers owe me.
hardcore, ayy. This is black cam, it's world, it makes sense as far as it is. Just a big dog, yeah. My Kindle came in a backyard. My barbarian life is up, dog.
What you say?
Woke up in the morning, broke all my chains. Money's my language, but I'm nobody's slave. Open my eyes, see the cracks in the barrel. Since I'm on the rise, an American pharaoh. I'm young and I'm black in America. They try to attack and embarrass us. Y'all don't want your daughters to marry us, but they love this dick, so I tear it up. Got her wetter than Mariners. Half of society scared of us. My nigga, I'm young with no barriers. So if you owe me money, just give me up. Police killed my best friend, they shot him dead. I do not forgive, I do not forget. My life is a cliff and I'm by the ledge. And in less than a moment, a lot is said. But if you don't know me, do not allege. The thoughts in my head, you cannot arrest. I see that as a promise and not a threat. I don't answer my phone if it's not a check. I'm on plus, your money on minus. No love for the righteous, just call me a highness. You can't bite this, my flying is science. No type of bullshit, I require silence. People wanna bottle my virus. Beef on the track, it came out of my sinus. But you won't see no sign of survivors. So I sped off here, the sound of my tires. Woke up in the morning, broke all my chains. Money's my language, but I'm nobody's slave. Open my eyes, see the cracks in the barrel. Cause I'm on a ride, an American pharaoh.
What you say?
Woke up in the morning, broke all my chains. Money's my language, but I'm nobody's slave. Open my eyes, see the cracks in the barrel. Cause I'm on a ride, an American pharaoh.
I'm young and I'm black in America. They stop it, they frisk us and jail us up. I don't understand what they jealous of. See, they crucify us and nail us up. And there is no such thing as privilege. That was not in the curriculum. This is the world that I'm living in. Like I'm only one third of a citizen. But fuck it, I'm getting my money up. Three ain't company when you wanna be number one. Second and third place, I don't wanna be none of them. After all of the effort, how could I settle for runner up? Give them a foot, they take a mile and run them up. I went through a drought, no one was hitting my number up. I used to be stuck in my own head, like what was up? But sometimes shit could go downhill when you coming up. They try to divide up my kingdom with violence. They know I'm a tyrant, they riot, we hold them and fight them. Take their gold and they diamonds, then hang them by rope with no trials. No Jesus Christ for your crisis. I'm just raking it green like I'm Irish. With no ocean apart, every sea is too narrow. I rose from the battle, an American pharaoh.
Woke up in the morning, broke all my chains. Money's my language, but I'm nobody's slave. Open my eyes, see the cracks in the barrel. Cause I'm on the rise, an American pharaoh.